5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Well, good morning. Vince Cowan is here alongside Sarah Westwood and for the vacationing Mary Walter. Joining us in a little bit, we'll have Tucker Carlson on at 8:05. And then at 8:35, Congresswoman Kathy McMorris Rogers will be here. All ahead on Mornings on the Mall. Good morning. Good morning, Sarah.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Let's talk to Mark Kerkorian now, head of the Center for Immigration Studies. Hello, sir. Welcome.
Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Nice to have you. There's a lot going on immigration, including Monday is supposed to be this nominal deadline for a resolution on DACA. But apparently, the points don't matter. It does not matter anymore what the deadline is because the courts have ruled, nope, the Trump administration has to keep on renewing those DACA applications.
Right, exactly. I mean, it was supposed to be the deadline when 6 months ago in September when the president canceled the unlawful program that Obama had created basically just through a memo. It wasn't even an executive order, let alone legislation, just a memo from Homeland Security. And what a judge in San Francisco and now another one in New York said is that Trump can't cancel a memo by Obama without having to go through a whole long, expensive litigation when it's obvious to everybody, even those judges, that obviously the executive has the authority.
Well, if it's so obvious, though, why did the Supreme Court kick it back down to the appeals court process?
Well, what happened was the administration asked for a direct appeal to the Supreme Court because there's three layers of federal courts. You got district court, then the circuit court where the decisions are appealed to, and then the Supreme Court. What the administration said is, this is really important. Let's just cut out the middleman and go straight to the Supreme Court. That very seldom happens. It has occasionally, but very seldom. So it wasn't surprising. The Supreme Court basically, it was just two lines, but I mean, basically, I think their thinking was, look, this isn't an emergency. And so let's just let the normal litigation process run its course, and then it'll come to us maybe in a few months.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it does seem like on its face ridiculous that President Obama could create it out of whole cloth, yet President Trump can't remove it. That's the government at its worst. I also want to ask you sort of about what's the current state of play on these immigration conversations. We keep hearing about this Bob Goodlatte bill, which is the strongest, the toughest, most hawkish immigration bill in the House, and whether or not Paul Ryan's actually going to give it a vote. Look into your crystal ball. What do you expect here?
Well, they're not going to give it a vote unless they know they have the votes. Obviously, you know, you wouldn't bring something like this up for a vote if you thought it might lose. So, that's the question, is whether the leadership, Speaker Ryan and others in the House, will be working their own members, basically lobbying internally their own members to get them to support the bill. It looks like they're doing this. Steve Scalise, who's in leadership, is one of the co-sponsors of this bill. So even though a lot of people are suspicious about Speaker Ryan, and really Speaker Ryan's heart is with open borders libertarians. I mean, he doesn't vote that way all the time, but that's where his sentiments are. So he's not inclined to make a big push for this bill, but it looks like they are. There's a lot of leadership people are on this bill. So the question will be not whether Speaker Ryan brings it up for a vote, but whether they can whip their own members to make sure that they have enough votes. If they do, then I think he'll definitely bring it up.
Hi, Mark. This is Sarah. So I guess I'm just curious, is there any kind of immigration policy that could find enough votes in the House, given that it would probably be a party line vote, Republicans passing it, but could also hit that 60-vote threshold in the Senate, where even the pretty moderate plan President Trump put out is a non-starter with most of the Democrats they'd need to cross the aisle?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. I just don't think there is anything that the president and the Republicans could accept that the Democrats at this point would go for. I wouldn't bet my house on this, but I'll bet a cup of coffee to anybody that there isn't going to be any legislation, at least this year. What could happen, and this is obviously a big if, it depends on the election, if the Republicans keep the House, they'll probably lose some seats. They could lose the House, that's likely. But if they keep it, and if they pick up a couple of seats in the Senate, which is possible, then maybe the Democrats will figure, okay, you know, we can't hold out to the next election. Maybe we'll try to cut some kind of deal. Before then, I just don't see it happening.
Another development this week is that the president got some support from a guy that he was once fighting with in public, Judge Curiel, Judge Gonzalo Curiel, saying, you know, it's totally within the administration's right to waive environmental rules in building portions of the wall. Will this help clear the way for the Trump administration once they actually get authorization from Congress to get this wall assembled?
Yeah, I think so. Just to be clear, they have authorization. They've had it forever. They need the money for it. That's what they need to do the wall. And Judge Curiel, I mean, look, to his credit, he acted like a judge, unlike some of these other judges you saw in San Francisco and elsewhere in these DACA cases or in the travel ban cases. Those judges, you know, they kind of implicitly admitted that this was all legal. It's just that because it was Trump, they were just not going to do it. They were resistance judges. I mean, literally, these are renegade judges acting unlawfully. Whereas Curiel, to his credit, insulted by the president shamefully, quite frankly. I mean, the president had no business saying that kind of stuff. But Curiel was professional enough to side with the law. He didn't side with the president. He sided with the law, and more power to him.
And he went out of his way, in fact, to declare that politics is not supposed to play a role in his decision-making process.
Exactly. Would that we had more judges like that, quite frankly.
Yeah, it's weird that he would have to say that, though. You mentioned libertarians here. The Koch brothers are out with a new advertisement through what they call their Libre initiative, where they communicate with Hispanics in the United States. The Kochs are libertarians. Here is their new ad, and also explain what they're saying in public about the president's immigration proposal.
We love our country and fight to defend it. We work hard, care for our families, and pledge allegiance to this flag. We are dreamers. America's best days are ahead, and we want to be a part of it.
So in case you're a liberal who didn't know what the Koch brothers are into, that's one of the things. But they're basically saying, look, we want protections for the dreamers, the so-called dreamers in the United States, but we're not in any way for a reduction to legal immigration. What do you make of this?
Yeah, I mean, that's what you would expect from, people with their point of view. The left hates the Koch brothers as though they're some kind of, you know, demons on the right. And yet, you know, the Koch brothers are for open borders and abortion and drug legalization. And I'm not really sure what the Democrats don't like about them, other than the fact they want low taxes. That ad really does point to something where, you know, they're saying, well, you know, we love America, et cetera. Well, the point about this debate about DACA and the Dreamers is not whether they're good or bad people. Some are good, some are bad, just like anybody else. The question is this good or bad policy? And that's an entirely different question. And quite frankly, if people, whether the Democrats or the Libertarians, really were concerned about this unique little sliver of the illegal population, these DACA Dreamers, then they would be open to making a deal, to say getting rid of the ludicrous visa lottery where we give 50,000 green cards out to random people around the world, getting rid of that in exchange for an amnesty, for instance. That kind of deal making, we have just not seen any willingness on the part of the Democrats or on the part of the libertarians like Jeff Flake and the Republican Party.
There you go. Yet, meanwhile, the president gets to stake out the territory that he's the one who's defending the Dreamers. Thank you, Mark Krikorian. Really appreciate your insight, as always, sir.
Thank you.
Hi, everybody. It's Andy and James here from your next favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do fun facts.
Yes, we do. James, give me a fact.
Did you know that there is an extinct bandicoot whose official scientific name is Crash Bandicoot?
Lovely. I didn't know that. Did you know, James, that Upper Egypt is technically below Lower Egypt?
Incredible. Absolutely amazing. I would love to hear more about that.
Well, all you have to do is go and listen to No Such Thing as a Fish.
Where will I find it?
Oh, all over.
Okay, bye.
Bye.